I don't know about you, but there are times when I find it difficult to pray. If I'm in a bad place or things aren't going right, I sometimes find it quite difficult to find the words that I need to say. So there are times when I turn to the Lord. Because that is a prayer which Jesus himself gave to his disciples. And so we know it is a prayer filled with God's Spirit. But also, I have found a very simple, because I'm a very simple man. As you know, I am a pair of very little bread. So I have found a very simple way of praying when I'm in one of those positions. So I'd like you, please, just put up your left hand. No, left hand. Sorry, left hand. And I'd like to use my left hand for a very short coffee cup, obviously, in a minute. So the first is our thumb. And when you put your thumb up, what do you say? That's okay, that's good, all right? When God made the world, at the end of each day, what did he do? He looked at it and said, it is good. So your thumb is for thanking God. Thank him for all he has given. Thank you, thank him that he is God. It's very difficult at times just to say thank you, Lord, for being you. You know, we want to thank him for all the things he's done for us, of course we do. But why not just thank him for being our own God Almighty? The one who is there for us. Always there. So that's the thumb. Next one. Anthony, come here, would be my mother's call. And so our index finger is to say sorry. Yeah. Sorry for the things that we have let God down over, the things that we have let other people down over. So that's our index finger. You can embellish that. More and more. The third finger, and I'm going to do that very carefully. The third finger is our largest finger. And so use that finger to pray for those things that are beyond us as individuals. So pray for the world. Pray for the situations in the world. You might think, oh, I'm just one person praying. But with God, we are a multitude. We are a majority. And so that is the one to use when we pray for situations all over our world that we know displease God. So that is happening. Now, I've got to work up on that. Ladies, and I'm talking to you now, although some gentlemen, Martin, they also have this. What is on that finger? Wedding ring. So that finger is the finger to pray for those that you know and love. All right, so pray for your family. Pray for your church family. Pray for your close friends. Those sorts of people with that finger. And then, smallest finger, pray for ourselves. Pray for ourselves. There's nothing wrong with praying. We're not being selfish or egotistical when we pray for ourselves. You might find yourself in a situation that you find a struggle to cope with. So pray for perseverance. Pray for courage. Pray for strength. It may be that you've got a very difficult decision to make. So again, committed to the Lord in prayer. Paul says, pray on all occasions. So I have a tendency, when I get into the car, just to say, Lord, look after me and others on the road while I'm driving. So that's very simple. And it isn't hard. It isn't difficult theology. The background to it may be very difficult and very hard, but the actual practice is very simple. It's very straightforward and can be learned by a child. So thank God. Say sorry. Pray for the world. Pray for those that we know and love, and pray for ourselves. And just in case, like me, your memory is starting to go. How about that? Does that work? Pray in the Spirit. On all occasions. Now I will find. I'm going to have to talk to the deacons about this, whether I can put posters up in church. But it'll be put up somewhere. I can assure you. I'm going to make a very a true statement. There is nothing more powerful and effective than the power of prayer. There is nothing more powerful and effective than the power of prayer. And it is God's gift to us. A gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to pay for it. Although I know there are certain websites where certain peculiar nuns, if you pay them $10, will say a prayer on your behalf. But we don't. And because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and in his resurrection and ascension, we, through prayer, can talk directly with our God. Isn't that amazing? If I wanted to talk to the King of England, current King of England. If I wanted to talk to him, I'd have to go through so many offices to get to him, and then I probably wouldn't even get to him then. But as Christians, as those who have been saved by grace, we have that immediate communication with God. And God, in turn, has that immediate communication with us. And he wants to communicate with us. He wants to talk to us. If we are in trouble, bring it to him. If we are in joy, rejoice with him. You will remember Jesus when he was here on the earth. He sorrowed with the sorrowful. He laughed with the happy. He was hungry with the hungry. He feasted with those who had. And that's God. God wants to be so intimate in our lives that all too often we hold him back. We say, so far, Lord, but not all the way. And if we're in a good place, we'll say, well, I'm coping very well, thank you very much, God. I don't need your help at the moment, but when I'm in trouble next, I'll give you a call. Well, like the AA or the RAC. God wants to be so involved in our life. Now, we just sang that beautiful hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But Scrivens actually wrote a fourth verse. And in my research, I found this. It's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But I think it should be part of our canon of song. This is the verse. Blessed Saviour, thou hast promised, thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Soon and glory, bright unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. Isn't that lovely? And this was a man who had suffered greatly in his life. But he's able to write that because he knows that through prayer, God is always with him. God is always alongside him. And so let's look a little bit at our reading this morning. And the first bit that I brought to you is that verse 12, which is all about not swearing. Now, that's not the swearing young people do out there. That's the making oaths and so on. Now, the problem was in those days that the Jews had made swearing oaths such a palaver that they could hardly be trusted. So a Jew would say something and then say, "And then I swear on the lives of all my ancestors, etc., etc., that it is true." And in fact, the actual swearing bit would be far more than what you actually said. So that is why James here is saying, as Christians, you don't need to do that. As Christians, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You don't need to embellish it. You don't need to make it full of stuff. Get to the point. But that's what that is about. So when we are praying, don't go into all sorts of wonderful flowery language. Now, please, I'm not having a dig at any denomination in any way, shape, or form. Please don't get me wrong. But we need, as Christians, to make our thanks to God, our wishes to God, known simply. Simply. We are simple people. So make your, or if you're an engineer, do it in engineering terms. Or if you're a mathematician, do it in maths terms. But make it simple. So that your request is clear. There's something else we can be aware of, we need to bear in mind. And that is if someone asks us to pray for them. If someone asks you to pray for them, you said, "Yes, I will pray for you," then for goodness sake, make sure that you do it. Too often, and I've seen this in so many ministries, etc., they fog people off by saying, "Please don't worry, I'll pray for you." And they walk away and they've completely forgotten. You can see it on their faces. They've completely forgotten what they said to that person. So if you're going to say, if you say to someone, "I will pray for you," then do that. And make your prayer with that person's image in your head, with their problem. If you know their problem, in your heart. But don't go spreading it around. They're not sources for gossip. They're not sources for rumour. And we need to be very aware of that. Too many of our churches, which started to open up, suddenly found that the devil was getting in there. And I've seen it myself. When we say prayers of confession, I've seen it. People looking across the aisle and saying, "Well, I don't need to confess to much, but him, oh, oh, oh." I've said this before. If I'm driving along the motorway and I'm doing 90 miles an hour, Tristan pulls me over. And he says, you do realise the speed limit is 70, you're doing 90. If I then see another motorist zip past at 100 miles an hour, I can't say to the policeman, I was doing 90, but he was doing 100. Yes? We have both broken the law. You can't offset. You see where I'm going? If we have broken God's promise to us, if we have broken our promise to Him, then that is what we need to confess. And God will forgive us. That's why some went to the cross. In order that we might be forgiven. In order that we can be made right with God. And yes, we say confession Sunday by Sunday to remind ourselves of that fact. But when Jesus went to the cross, and when we, on our knees, metaphorically or really, say to Him, come into my life, we are forgiven. From that very moment, if you are earnest and honest in that confession to Him, we are forgiven. And it's not the little sins of that moment or the next moment, it's all going backwards and forwards, we are forgiven. It's rather like someone saying to you, when does eternity begin? Eternity for me begins the moment we accept Jesus into our life. Don't have to wait for death. It starts straight away. And then for us, death merely becomes a gateway between one God and another. Because we're already in God's love. We're already in that eternal blessing. And that's something that we need to bear in mind when we pray. So please, prayer. He says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them work. Let them pray. I don't know about you, but I find at times when I'm in trouble, prayer just sort of fritters away. And so there's greater effort needed when we're in trouble. There's greater effort needed. But it is so true. It is so true. It's rather like there used to be in Wales when the coal trucks were going pulled by a horse. And you just have a coal truck, one horse, and that would be it. But when you came to hills, and there are quite a few hills in Wales, when you got to the bottom of the hill, there would be a companion horse. And that companion horse would be tacked on to your car, the original horse, and the two of the horses would take it up to the top of the hill. The escort horse would be taken on the horse all the way back down, and you would carry on your journey. God is a help. He is there for helping us. And He wants to help. He wants to make us whole. He wants us to be His people. The other illustration is the one of the man who has a long ladder. And so, first of all, he picks it up in the middle. But picking it up in the middle sort of waves around in both directions. He can't really control it. So he thinks, I'll push it from the back. So he goes to the back of the ladder and he starts pushing. But every little rut in the road he catches. And it won't go along. So, all right, then, I'll pull it. So he goes to the front and he pulls it. And then he finds that the bottom end waggles around and gets in the way of other people and so on. Until another man comes along and says, yes. Where are you going? Well, I'll go, oh, I know that way. Do you know? I don't know where I'm actually taking the ladder, but if you know the way, would you go out the front and I'll go out the back and you can leave now? Yes. That's God. That's God. He will take control of our situation. He will lead us. He will guide us. Yes, we go into situations when we don't know what is going to happen. We don't know what that experience is going to be like. But with God on our side, with God allowing God to be fully aware as we are, he then comforts us, to help us, to guide us. Yes, to give us courage. Yes, to give us perseverance. Yes, to help us through. He will do that. Because that's what he wants to do for us, his children. I like the term children for the people of God. As a teacher and as a head teacher, there are always two ways to use your hands. And I don't mean, no. And there are what I mean is, you can either get behind the child and push it, and push it as hard as you can. And we see that with a number of children who are five A levels by the age of 11 and so on. But the other way, the more gentle way, take you by the hand and lead them and guide them and show them that things aren't as frightening. And that's what God wants to do with us through prayer. And yes, it may well be that our prayers are of the silent variety, just in our hearts, those arrow prayers we shoot up to God. I can't remember if it's Cromwell or Charles, Lord, this day there is much that I must be about. I might forget thee. Do not allow forget me. And he doesn't forget us. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't leave us bereft. He is always there, always alongside us. So let us come then to the practicality of prayer. And I've already said one before. If we say we are going to pray for someone, then we should pray for. We must pray. Not sure. The other thing is, I always feel encouraged, lifted up, when someone says, I will pray for you. I will pray for you. And that to me is saying, yes, that person is on my side. And that may be the encouragement that you need. It may be the support that you need. And if it's someone that you respect and admire, and I respect and admire all of you, but if I mean that, then don't mean that intensive. So when someone who you do respect and admire says, I will pray for you, meaning I will be with you in that situation, that lifts the heart, that lifts the spirit. Yeah? It really does, because if this person is praying, wow, what could possibly go wrong? One of the things that I am very, as I say, I pray on all occasions, and I'm not saying that just to be boastful, but one of the things that I am very guilty of is knowing how little time I spend on prayer. Yes, I pray for all of you on a daily basis. Please don't get me wrong. I pray when I put my service together, etc., etc. praying in that quiet place. Praying, what I would say, praying first. You think about it. Oh, well, I spend a quarter of an hour every day in prayer. That's 1/200th of a day. Or 1/196. Okay, right. For the mathematicians among you. Now, all I pray for half an hour a day. All right, well, that's 1/48. When you consider it in those terms, we need to be very aware. Yes, we should be spending that time in prayer and in the Word, because it's through them that we get to know the heart of God. How can we pray in God's will or in His, with His face before us, if we haven't spent time seeking that first? We want to know God's will for this church. We want to know what God wants us to be doing in the future. Therefore, we need to spend significant time in prayer for this church, for the future. Now, don't get me wrong. God does not need us to fulfill His mission. He is almighty. He can fulfill His mission without us. No problem. But He gives us the privilege, the honor, the responsibility of being His hands, His feet, His heart, His ears, His mouth on earth today. And how can we fulfill that if we haven't sought Him first? And that is in prayer and in Bible. I told you the story of my parents' church when we went there a number of years ago. And I'd not taken my bag with me, and so I asked one of the sidesmen if he could find me a church Bible. And he searched throughout the church. Throughout the church. And he came back to me and said, I'm dreadfully sorry, the only Bible we have in church is the one on the left. That, to me, said so much. One, the vicar was frightened that people would find out the real truth in the Bible, not merely what he was saying, but also that being in the Bible, they were directed to greater prayer. And that is what we need. We need to be directed. So when there are opportunities to pray together, to read the Word together, and I'm not advertising, you know, the prayer and Bible study on Wednesday, but it is important. It is vitally important. And that is why I do believe so many more Bibles are being sold today. Because people want to hold the truth in their hands. They want to get away from fake news. They want to get away. I mean, I've seen adverts, I don't know if you have, on television, where you can take a picture. So I could take a picture of Audrey, okay? Then I could sit next to in the chair, she could come out and take a picture. And they would both be on the same. Yes, you see that? Well, to me, is that a proper photograph? No, it's not, because it didn't actually happen in the way that it looked. And that's so much what our world is about today. The truth is so important. And the truth is so important. Oh, my friends. As you know, I love you all. I truly do. And as a church, we need to find those moments together when we are truly praying as God's people. I had a lady at my last church, and she was in floods of tears for the church. Because she said there was, she was a lovely West Indian lady, super spiritual lady. And she said to me, this church won't grow whilst the obstacle is in the middle of the church. I said, what do you mean? And she said, when I come into the church, I see this big black rock. And she said, my cry over it. And we prayed about it, and I brought it to that mention her name. I brought it to the church, and we prayed about it. But again, I could see that there were those who ignored that name. She got by the name. But it was true. If something worries you, if something is concerning you, if something does not feel right in your spirit, say so. Say so. Never be afraid. You are amongst Christian family. Say so. We will pray over it together. And we will sort it out and move us on. Now I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that that is the case here. It's not. This is a fabulous fellowship. And I put on the poster outside, a joyful Christian fellowship. And that's what we want. It would be lovely. I thought Wednesday was wonderful. Those of you who were there, I thought it was a fabulous time together. I just wish that we'd had the opportunity to perhaps mingle and chat. We should, what we should have done is had a three-course meal. No, I'm not saying, no, don't mean like that. Don't mean like that, sorry. The Lord's Rabbit was three courses. And you should have numbers of 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. And so that after the starter, all the twos move three spaces along. And then we had our main course. And after the main course, I move all the feet. Sorry. But as we get to know one another. You know, it says, this is how we think we've been here for years. We've probably not been here. Please, as we get to know one another better, don't be afraid. But let me say this to you. I'm going to finish with this. If you have something to say to someone, and you know that he's going to be upset. Yeah? You know that, perhaps it's an accidental hurt or something like that. Always surround your comments with love. Always surround your comments with Christian love. And make it very clear to them that you are speaking to them compassionately. Why? Because you want your relationship with them, and therefore your relationship together and your relationship together before God to be a right. Because that is what God wants for us as a church. Amen. Do I hear amen?
Amen.